and health care didn't meet me where I was at. I was told I was, you know, hadn't tried long enough. I hadn't had enough miscarriages. When I got there, I did testing. Everything was normal. You're unexplained infertile. And so I was pushed to the point of doing IVF.
Hi, my name is Mina Kim, your host of The Click Line. I've worked on Wall Street for over 14 years. Then I built out Orange Theory Fitnesses and sold them to a private equity firm. And upon that exit, started investing in women and minority startups, as well as advising women who are getting due divorce with financial consulting and strategy. Hi, and welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Click Line podcast. I am so lucky to have today Dr. Amy Beckley. She has an MBA, a PhD, she's a scientist, and now a founder. She's what an Asian mother's dream child would be. She is founder of Prove, which provides non-invasive at-home hormone therapy. We're lucky to have her on. Welcome, Dr. Beckley, to the Click Line podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It sounds so lovely.
So we met at the Portfolio Women's Health Conference, and your story on why you started Prove was really, really interesting. And I think it affects a lot of women around the world. So I'd love for you to share that story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a scientist, and I was studying breast cancer progression. So what happens when breast cancers leave the breast tissue and metastasize and cause disease and death and the bad things. So I've always been passionate about women's health and understanding disease. Got married, got a house with a nice yard and extra rooms. And I thought, you know, it's going to be easy to kind of build my family. It wasn't. It was very difficult, and health care didn't meet me where I was at. I was told I was, you know, hadn't tried long enough. I hadn't had enough miscarriages. I just when I got there, I did testing. Everything was normal. You're unexplained infertile. And so I was pushed to the point of doing IVF, which, you know, is fine, but it always left me with this, like, you're doing IVF because we don't know what's wrong with you. And IVF, for anybody who doesn't know, is typically about $60,000 per live birth. And so it's a life-changing thing that you have to pay for. And it's very invasive. You have to leave work many times. And so I just felt very unsettled with this idea of, we don't know what's wrong with you, but you're basically changing your entire life because you have to do this procedure, that we were missing something within women's health, that we weren't spending enough time and resources in understanding what was wrong with women. We were spending all of our resources in the treatment. And so after my birth of my first child, who was the result of two rounds of IVF, I went back to the doctor and said, okay, we need to figure out what's wrong with me instead of just trying to do the fix. And so through that process, I figured out that I had a hormone imbalance, and it was causing me not to be able to conceive. And the way that they missed that is because they didn't have the right diagnostic test. And so we still see this today where women are told, we can't measure your hormones. It's because we don't have like good ways to measure hormones throughout time, because they fluctuate and they go up and down at certain parts of the cycle. And a blood test just shows you one single point in time. And so all the blood tests I was doing at the clinic were missing the fact that I had hormone, but it was dropping too soon and they weren't able to catch it.
So it dropping too soon right before you're ovulating? Is that
right? No. After I was ovulating. So, so when you ovulate, release an egg, you produce another hormone called progesterone. And what progesterone does is it supports your uterine lining to conceive, to implant, and to maintain that pregnancy for the 9 months that you're going to hold that pregnancy. And if it drops too soon, which causes your next menstrual bleed, your embryo doesn't have enough time to go all the way through the fallopian tube, attach in the uterus before the uterine lining starts to slough off, and which is that next bleed. And so I would get like, you know, a couple positive pregnancy tests. I'm like, oh, I'm pregnant. And then I would just start to bleed because my progesterone wasn't high enough to support that pregnancy. And the way I found out this was that progesterone increases IVF chances like 50%. And I'm like, well, if we know this medication works in women on IVF, why can't I have it outside of context in IVF? And he's like, well, that's just not what we do. Like, it was brought to market under the corporations that make it for IVF. And so that's what the study is it's in the context of IVF. We just don't have the data for a natural cycle. And I'm like, I will help you get the data. I am not doing IVF. Let's go natural. Let's just add this medication. And it worked.
That is amazing. So when you were trying to get pregnant, were they doing regular hormone testing or was there not? Because I get like an annual blood test and a hormone. I just looked at it right before this and it was like normal FSH and TSH. But yeah, what does that really, you know, mean?
So hormone testing in the fertility context is cycle day 3 blood work. So if cycle day 1 is the first day of your period, of your bleed, cycle day 3 is when they do the blood work. And they're looking for your hormones to show that your ovaries can function or if there's anything that's out of balance. And FSH is a common one. AMH is a common one. Estrogen is a common one. But they all should be low, but not too low. And so looking at that, like, okay, what do your hormones look like now? And they're extrapolating what that means in the future, but not actually measuring it because they only do it one time on cycle day 3. And so it looked like, hey, yeah, Amy, your hormones look great. Your ovaries are working. Looks like you got a good number of eggs. There's nothing that's out of range. Like, you're good. But the problem was when my ovaries started working, I started making the hormones. What was supposed to happen didn't happen. And nobody caught it because that happened in like, you know, cycle day 21, 22, 23, 24, way at the end of the cycle when no one's checking your blood work. They're only measuring your hormones that one time. And they're assuming that your body's going to do what it's supposed to do, but it doesn't.
It is shocking in 2025 that this is something that is still not regularly tested, and which is why you started PROVE. So how does PROVE work?
So PROVE is a urine-based testing system. So a woman will test her urine once a day, and we track those four hormones that are key to ovulation. So LH, FSH, estrogen, and progesterone, those four hormones across the cycle. And we just look at the whole cycle and make sure the hormones are doing what they're supposed to do. I mean, you can go onto Google and you look at what's the menstrual cycle look like and that you can see the different patterns. We just look to see if that's actually happening or not. And we go, yep, we saw this. Okay, now this is happening. Okay, and this is happening. And if we don't see that, we flag it. Or if it's, you know, the curve is supposed to look like this and yours kind of looks like that, which was mine, where it kind of went up but then just dropped real quick, we can say, hey, that's not what it's supposed to look like. This is a potential cause of your infertility. You know, these are medications that can fix it. These are things that you can ask your doctor for. This is just education. But this technology really hasn't existed until I invented it.
Amazing. And congratulations to you. And this is a pure example of solving for something that is a real world problem that can help half the population, right? And so basically you're on a stick and you have an app that will track this. And then so if something is off, you talk to your doctor about it. There was something you mentioned on the panel, which I thought was so interesting, was that OBGYNs aren't trained on like menopause and things of that nature. And I saw some other stat that 70% have never had menopause training. And yet you know, affects 51% of the population, and women spend $13 billion annually to treat these symptoms. And I saw that you're now helping with perimenopause, and I think that's an important topic because I will be first to admit, I didn't even hear about perimenopause until, you know, just several years ago. It wasn't a thing that we're taught or, things are talked about. And so how does PROVE help monitor that? And what should people be looking for?
The program, the product that I just told you about was called PROVE Complete. And it's for the fertility consumer because she needs to know, you know, how many eggs she has left. And she needs to know her 6 fertile days to time intercourse. And then she needs to know the health of her luteal phase to make sure it's set up for healthy implantation and pregnancy. And so she'll test about 15 times a month to get all that data. What we've learned from that data is what a healthy cycle looks like, aka the textbooks that you see when you Google menstrual cycle, and then what unhealthy things look like. And they're very, they have certain patterns to them. And we've been able to show that certain hormone patterns are what we start to see as woman goes into perimenopause. And so the problem with, you know, steady state or today is there's no test, single blood test, that can tell you if you're in menopause or not. And so women have to go with symptoms and age. And the biggest symptom we have is, do you still have a bleed? Do you still have a period? And if the answer is yes, you're not in the definition of menopause. And therefore, you can get discounted and told it's not menopause. But there's this huge 8 to 10 year period called perimenopause that we don't know anything about because you're still getting periods. They might be more heavy. They might be more irregular. But OBGYNs aren't trained in that. They're trained, menopause is defined as 12 months without a period. This is, right? And then coupled with the thing that we can't monitor hormones. And so we don't know what hormones are doing right in that perimenopause stage. And so we're being told we can't measure hormones because we don't know what it means. And so we're trying to unpack that and understand it. And we see certain patterns that tell us what stage a woman is at. So very simply, perimenopause is caused when your ovaries stop working. And when they're stopped completely, it's called menopause. And typically it's from 40 to 50 is perimenopause. It can happen a little bit sooner, a little bit later. And then menopause is about 50, 51. So you have your entire 40s, which is like the peak of women's careers when they should be like thriving, kicking ass, like doing all this stuff that they're not sleeping. They have anxiety. They're moody. They just all this stuff. And so what happens is the ovary makes two essential hormones, estrogen and progesterone. Third one is testosterone. So testosterone is just a gradual decline over time. So we're not going to talk about that one as much. Estrogen and progesterone. And so what is associated with menopause is estrogen. We think of estrogen replacement. We think of, if I'm in menopause, I need estrogen. And we don't really talk about progesterone as much. But what's happening is progesterone is going down first. So that's the first hormone that goes. Then what happens is your estrogen actually gets higher. And then at the end is when your estrogen comes down. And so that's why treating a woman in perimenopause is so hard to do, because we're not measuring her hormones to see what stage she's at. And we don't know, we're just guessing, here, take some estrogen, and it might make it worse, it might make it better, depending on what stage it was that she's at. So our data on the fertility side has shown there's these three types of stages of perimenopause, that by measuring hormones across the cycle, and it's only 4 tests per cycle, not 15 like the fertility side, we can see what she's making, as we can give her personalized recommendations like, hey, your estrogen's great, but your progesterone's down. Let's do things to support your progesterone right now. You know, continue testing. You'll move into the next phase later, and then there's other things we can do.
Oh, that's so interesting. I've never heard that before, but it totally makes sense. And so is there a point where, so every cycle, would you adjust what's needed as far as like estrogen or progesterone?
I wouldn't say every cycle. I don't think we move through time that fast. But because OBGYNs don't have this education and they don't have this knowledge base, it's essential for that woman to have that information to help guide her on what questions to go when she knows she's being gaslit, when she knows that doctor doesn't have the education she needs, you know, go somewhere else, to kind of be an advocate for this. The analogy that I've been using is like a car mechanic, right? If you know nothing about your car and you go to the car mechanic, he's like, yeah, it's $5,000 to fix it. You have to trust what he says. He could be just had a bad day and needs to make some more money and he thought you were a sucker, you know? But if I knew something, dude, it's not $5,000. I know it's just this one part. I already looked it up on AutoZone and it's $100. You could call his bluff, right? And so it's a better conversation to have. And so that's the same thing with your health. You've got to come in educated and empowered with information to know when you feel heard and you're having an active conversation, or you're like, you know what, I'm more educated than them. I just need to find another provider. They're just not the right fit for me.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So there's people in Perry that have different types of symptoms, like brain fog or night sweats and not being able to sleep, etc. Is that, how are the symptoms different by person? Is that something that's just biological that's different? Or how do you explain the differences?
Yeah, so there's different symptoms, which are caused by different hormones. And then there's, you know, hey, my friend had no symptoms, just eased through menopause. And then there's somebody else who had a really tough time. The second one, we don't quite understand, to be honest. We don't know why some people don't struggle and other people do. But as far as symptoms go, the brain fog and the inability to sleep are direct effects of progesterone. And so giving progesterone induces sleep. It's fantastic. I mean, it's a great medication for that. For night sweats and hot flashes, that's estrogen. Vaginal dryness, that's estrogen. And so we know certain symptoms are caused by different hormones. Mm-hmm. And so we can say, okay, you know, she's having anything that's done with like the mind. So sleeping, anxiety, mood swings, those are all progesterone facing symptoms.
Interesting. I haven't heard that before. So if you do have these symptoms, you can go to your OB and ask them to do a test?
You can go to the OB and you can say, I'm having these symptoms, and they will use their knowledge and background to say, oh, do you want Prozac? Oh, it sounds like perimenopause. You need just magnesium to help you sleep. Like, those are all possible things that doctor could say back to you when you come in and say, these are my symptoms.
Mm.
If you had no knowledge about yourself, you know, she could say, oh, you're tired. Maybe your iron's low. Yeah, I'll test your iron. And she'll give you Prozac. And that may, it's probably perimenopause causing these things. And she's treating the symptoms, not the underlying perimenopause. So again, it all starts with that knowledge base that the woman needs to know, mm-hmm. this sounds like the right thing for me, or it doesn't sound like the right thing.
So using the PROVE test, what's the name of the PROVE hormone test for perimenopause?
It's called Empower.
Empower. Then you would be able to see if it's estrogen or something else that you need added and can show that, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any pushback in the market for these tests? How challenging has it been?
There's a healthy give and take from the medical community and the, you know, the consumer community. You know, the biggest one we get is they're scamming you. You can't test hormones.
And I agree with that, that you can't test hormones. They don't understand we're doing it in a different way. So we don't measure hormones one time and say, this is what your hormones are doing. We measure them over time to find those changes, to tell you what they're doing over time so that you can understand what hormone you're deficient in, because you can't measure it one time and know the answer, because hormones are up and down at different parts of the cycle. And so a deficiency at one part of the cycle is actually good at another part of the cycle. As you have to understand the dynamics of the hormones. And so on high level, when you say, oh, I did a hormone test with Prove, they're like, well, you can't measure hormones. It's more complex. It's like, well, they measure it differently, you know? And so there's just that not enough education out there, and there's not enough funding in women's health for me as a company to go around to every OBGYN and say, this is how we test differently. Because if I could sit down, like we're sitting down, and talk to an OB one-on-one and explain this, they'd be like, oh yeah, cool, got it, that's really cool. You know, but I don't have that liberty to do. It's up to the patient. And a lot of times OBGYNs don't get paid to have in-depth conversations with patients. There's, you know, problems with our medical system.
Right. Yeah. How accurate can you say the urine test is?
I mean, it's 99% accurate. It's as accurate as, you know, any urine test that you do at another lab. A urine test is not a blood test. And so we don't give the same numbers and the same units, but we're doing it because a blood test falls short of the information we need. We have to do it a different way. And so as sometimes, you know, I was like, oh, well, you know, estrogen was 45. That was just the number on the lab test. And Prove is saying it's 220. Okay, Prove, you're not right because the blood test said 45. Well, we're measuring it differently. They're different units. It's urine versus blood. But what I can tell you is this number is good or not good for where you are in your cycle. And so we calibrate it differently. So right. People have heard of the word Dutch test. So there's a urine hormone test called Dutch. It's just a brand name. And a lot of naturopathic functional medicine use this test because it's a better way to measure hormones, because they're doing it in urine and they can look at how the hormones are metabolized and things like that. It's $700 every time you do it. And it's what one day in your cycle. It's more comprehensive and you get more information than a blood test, but it's still not showing you the full picture. And Prove is $50, right? And you can do it at home and you don't have to send it to a lab and get a doctor to analyze the report for you.
Right. Amazing. Now, I didn't know that you were also in breast cancer research, which is a huge topic. And I feel like that affects a lot of women. And I feel like you hear about much higher breast cancer statistics now. I'm just curious on your thoughts on why you think that is, and if the testing that we have is accurate. And I'll tell you personal story. I had to go in and get, you know, they thought I have dense breasts. And I feel like everyone I talk to, they say they have dense breasts. Mm-hmm. So they make you go and get mammograms like 5 times and slamming you into this machine. And I said in one of my posts, like, if we had to slam men's private parts, they'd find a different way. Mm-hmm. And you know, they found, but it was not breast cancer, thank God, but it was something more dense. So they needed to like monitor it and track. But it just felt like, you know, I was getting tested and tested and no one really could give me an accurate picture of like what was going on. And I've heard lots of stories of people, and I've friends who've had, you know, kind of beginning stages of breast cancer found, but it just seems also like a fragmented testing process. And I would love to get your thoughts on that.
It is because healthcare and is why you're feeling that is because somebody invented the mammogram a long time ago and got a reimbursement code for it. And that determined, you know, standard of care. And that is what is written in all the medical guidelines as a standard of care for screening. Woman turns 40, she gets a mammogram. You know, I also have breast. I've never met a woman who doesn't have dense breast tissue. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. So shouldn't we all have a different test?
So what is better for that is an ultrasound, which is much better. That's not what's covered. It's not the standard of care.
Right.
And it's not what's reimbursed. Right.
Right.
You know, and there's also this. I actually just found this out maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, is it's either part of a mammogram or part of an ultrasound. I think it's a mammogram. You should actually get a calcium score of your vessels that helps you understand your heart disease risk. So that same mammogram that they did, they can read it for a calcium score to help you understand if you're at high risk for heart disease. If you want that, you have to pay out of pocket. That's an add-on most of the time. And nobody will do it unless you ask for it.
It's insane.
I know. So you can't, again, sleazy cars, you know, mechanic syndrome, right? Where you can't assume everyone's got your best interest. You can't assume this is the best thing, right? There's a company that can measure like risk of breast cancer in your tears. There's a company I know well, it's called Gabby, and it's just an online form where they talk about your history and this and that, and it gives you a rate assessment based off of your environment and things and in your medical history, your family history, that are better than the mammogram we all get thinking that we're covered. You know, insurance has our best
back
when it's not necessarily true, because that guidance was what, 20 years old, and there's new technologies out there that just aren't covered under insurance. And so we can't advocate for something we don't know. And so the most important thing is if you're worried about breast cancer, if you've had somebody in your family, like do more research, you know, ask better questions. You know, I know I'm scheduled for my mammogram in January, and I'm going to ask them for the calcium scoring, 100%.
Can we refuse the mammogram and say, I want to have the, you know, a different testing that's not as, you know, aggressive?
You could, but then you might have to pay out of pocket. Then it's not covered under your insurance.
So it's clearly a billing issue. We need to advocate for ourselves. And yeah, I'm just seeing a lot of stats, a lot of high breast cancer stats. So, and I know, you know, multiple people personally that have had to go through some sort of procedure. And so it's concerning.
I mean, we are living unhealthier and unhealthier as we go. There's more processed foods, there's more population, there's more stressors. We're doing things that we've, you know, whoever thought we'd fly a plane, we don't know what that. You know, like there's just so much more, you know, technology and, you know, radio frequencies and all this stuff out there.
Yes.
And so, and then we are also, you know, catching it sooner, right? And so you might see more cases because we're catching it sooner. We're doing more, you know, screenings.
Right. And so just curious, do men go through hormone changes?
Yes.
Obviously, not as much as women, but do they over time?
Yeah.
And what does that look like?
Yes. So the men's menstrual cycle, the menstrual cycle, so if you wish, is one day. And they have one main hormone called testosterone. And it is high in the morning, and it kind of peters off towards the end of the day. And then overnight, it sleeps, it recharges, goes up, and it comes back down. And so you can, in men, you could typically see that they just, their spunk, their fire is down at night if they're having a testosterone issue. And testosterone levels decrease 1% every year, starting at about age 30. And so that's the men's story. What's fascinating about men versus women that I don't understand is
if you tell a man his, you know, his testosterone's low and he's going to be tired, he's got no muscle mass, whatever, whatever, he'll go straight into the clinic, ask for testosterone, they'll give testosterone, this and that. It increases the chance for testicular cancer, just like in women, it increases the chance for breast cancer. But nobody cares. Nobody cares. Like, I would rather feel good. I'm going to take the testosterone. I'm going to do it. I'm going to find a way. Whereas in a lot of times they're not told this. They're not told it affects their fertility. They're not told it could increase their chance of testicular cancer or prostate cancer. They're just not told that. And they're told all the positive things about it's going to make you feel great. You're going to be energy, this and this. Flip to the women's side. Hormones decline. Menopause is a natural decline of hormones and they go away. Woman goes in to talk about hormones or she goes on social media or whatever. And it's, well,
right.
Okay, so maybe you could take hormones. Maybe they cause breast cancer. So you really have to make sure you take it the least amount of time for the least number of years and the least dose. And, you know, we're fighting about does it cause breast cancer or not? It's this form or that form. And like, we're just, there's so much fighting about it that women are like scared. They're scared that it's going to cause breast cancer, which a lot of studies shows that it doesn't really increase the risk of breast cancer in the majority of women. And it decreases heart disease. It decreases Alzheimer's risk. It decreases osteoporosis. It does all these really cool things, just like testosterone does for men, but it's more muted for women and it makes women scared to do it. Whereas men, the side effects are muted and the benefits are exaggerated.
Right.
And so it's a weird dynamic and I don't know why that's happening. Is it because we as women overanalyze and we're more cautious and we're studying things? Is it, I don't know. I don't know. But it seems like men get treated in a minute and they're perfectly happy to do it. And women are just more conflicted and they're worried.
Are there stats on how much like estrogen or progesterone in women, like what percentage is lost every decade? Is there a stat like that?
I mean, estrogen and progesterone are produced mainly in the ovaries. And so during menopause, you turn off almost all of your progesterone and on average about 70% of your estrogen because your fat stores can also make estrogen. And so it typically is pretty normal until you get to about 35, then you start the decline, and then by 50, you're like flatlined. Like you do lose these hormones. And the question is, you know, do we need the hormones? Can we just live fine without the hormones? And you know, nature was designed to just get rid of the hormones and live. You don't need them. Because you only needed them for reproduction and you're not gonna have any more babies. So we're done. Or is it, you know, we're living longer than we used to before and we're adapting to live longer and so we need the hormones longer. And so these are just kind of, I guess, two of the sides of the story of like, yes, you should be on hormones or no, you should not be on hormones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, naturopathic, more functional medicine, use tools like Dutch tests, serial hormone testing to dose people individually based off of their hormone levels. And they seem to do really well that way, although that's a non-traditional Western medicine approach that's not supported by, you know, the OBGYN that's covered under your health insurance policy, for example.
Right.
And so to get this personalized therapy where they're testing and they're getting microdoses and they're feeling heard, they're paying $1,400 each visit out of pocket. And that's totally against what mainstream medicine is telling them. So they're constantly like, you know, it's like, well, are they right or wrong? Well, it's a reimbursement thing. I don't know. Like, it's just a lot of noise in that space.
Do you think the loss of estrogen in women is a contributor to why a lot of women have dementia and Alzheimer's much higher than men?
Yes. Yep. There's more and more studies every day coming out like that. Absolutely.
So
it's not just estrogen, it's progesterone as well.
both.
Yeah. So these two hormones, estrogen and progesterone, there are receptors on almost all the cells in your body, which means all the cells in your body respond to these hormones. It's not just your ovaries or uterus. It's everything. And so when your body doesn't make those hormones anymore, your bone can't be the best bone it can be. Your heart can't be the best heart it can be. The brain can't be the best brain it can be.
So it's important, ladies, to be monitoring your hormones. And I was not paid to say this, but get a proof test and make sure you're tracking. Would you suggest, like, even women, if we don't have symptoms, if you're in your mid-30s, should we get a proof test and start checking things out, you know, to be preventative?
100,000,000%. Yes, absolutely. So the best thing you can do is get a baseline. And that means when status quo and you're feeling great, you know your baseline. And then you can always refer back to it and be like, oh, now I have this symptom. Oh, my baseline was this. Now it's up here. Something's off, right? And so you can be your own comparison tool. I absolutely, absolutely suggest that. That is the single most important thing. And that's kind of, you know, a mammogram works the same way. Is they started at 40, assuming you're going to have at least one clean one, and they use the clean first one to compare the other ones to, right? And so we see this across everything, you know. And for us, you know, doing a baseline is like $50. It's not a huge cost to do.
Yeah. And it can make a world of difference. I will say I have already recommended your product to one of my friends who's trying to get pregnant. So I'll give you her feedback. But she was super excited when I told her to check it out. And so lastly, on every podcast on the Click Line, I ask, what moment in your life, personal or professional, did something all of a sudden click for you? Now, I know there was the prove click, but something else maybe that you've encountered in your amazing career where things clicked for you?
It had to have been when I was 16 and I was having really bad headaches and I would be on the floor of the bathroom like puking and couldn't get up. And every doctor my mom took me to said it was just migraines. And she knew there was something else. And she just kept taking me to doctor, to doctor, to doctor. Finally, somebody said, you know what? This doesn't seem right. Let's bring her in for an MRI just to rule things out. Sitting on the table, doctor happened to walk in. Who is that? She's got a big brain tumor. She needs to get in right now. I was admitted that night, surgery next day. Been fine ever since. That was my pivotal turning moment where I'm like, we have got to do better in healthcare. We can't just assume this, that, or whatever. Right. So you have to create tools. You have to uncover. People aren't always the same. We can't be dismissed. You know, my mom would just, I'm not stopping till I do it. And so that was basically, you know, when my personal collided with my science, I was like, I'm going to be a scientist. I'm going to help understand these things. And then my personal life was like, this hormone thing is crazy. I was like, yep, there it is. Like, we're going to help uncover, decode hormones.
Amazing. At 16, you had that fire. So I love that story, especially because, you know, it's a reminder we really need to advocate for ourselves and family. And if listen to your gut, and it's like in everything in life. And if it doesn't feel right, go get multiple opinions, talk to multiple people until you get the answer. And I think that's such an amazing story. And your journey and career is so inspiring. So thank you so much for being on the Click Line. I really appreciate it. And I have personally learned so much from this episode that I can't wait to listen to it again. But thank you, Dr. Beckley. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Don't forget to send in your questions and comments to the Click Line. And one more thing, the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered professional advice. Please consult with qualified professionals for advice related to your specific situation.